Finally, I go back to grow my area. I have a piece of cheesecake at a bar that specializes in pastry, like Portuguese bars. Basque cheesecake is supposed to be so good, but it's no better than the President's Choice cheesecake I get at local supermarkets.
Okay, talking about moving last week, girlfriend and I went up to Santa Barbara. We went to this little restaurant called The Kitchen, and there was jazz on in the kitchen. It's the name of the restaurant, The Kitchen. And I said, "Where's that? What's that?" And he said, I thought him say, you know, it was like, you know, KMMM or XLR. "Oh, it's XM," he said. "They're playing XM." And so I struck up a conversation. He gave me the finest piece of cheesecake I've ever eaten. His name is Matthew. I want to say thank you for playing XM. And thank you for being there in Santa Barbara. Your old hometown there, David.
We better be on the air tonight. What's his name?
His name is Matthew.
All right, Matthew. We'll take one of those cheesecakes down here, not next month, but the month afterward. Just ship it right down end of September.
The rating of that restaurant wasn't an X, was it?
No, it's the old McConnell factory. Remember McConnell Ice Cream, the great ice cream from Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
This was the old factory. We went looking, girlfriend and I, for the factory, and we come up, and there's the cow is still there moving around. It's called The Kitchen.
Oh, is that nice?
It's really cool. Yeah. It was really cool. By the way,
great food in Santa Barbara.
Great food in Santa Barbara. They had a big horse show. And we stayed at the Upham Hotel, which is...
You were there eating horses?
Not eating originally. We didn't think we were going to. We didn't think... So. Right you are. Yeah. You caught
I've done
me
that
again.
In Oslo, but yeah. I wouldn't think...
I didn't expect to. No, I went up to eat beef, veal,
fish,
you
filly.
Know what I mean? I'm just a guy. Mm-hmm. Girlfriend and I go up there, big horse show. Absolutely right. Went to the Upham Hotel. We were in the room built upon the bodies of 4,000 Chumash Indians. It says it right over the bed.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's an expensive room.
The odor was offsetting, but the place was soft as a rotten apple, and
as a headdress.
They served us up the horses that lose that come in like mm-hmm. third, fourth, and fifth. Mm-hmm. And serve them up to the guests. Mm-hmm. It was surreal.
Mm-hmm. And a big cheese horse cake.
Well, that's what mm-hmm. I thought it was.
Well,
yeah, that's what I thought it was. But
those horses die with a happy smile on their faces because they're listening to X.
Then back to Bar Bigara, where I'm promptly refunded my euros for the kava I didn't consume. While there, I have the single best mushroom dish of the trip called a boletus spoon. Boletus sautéed with fresh tomatoes, cream, and prawns. By far the best mushroom dish I had in Spain.
From your first breath to your last, darkness and in the light, we are the oldest and youngest. We are the largest and smallest. We are the wisdom of a billion years. We are creation. We are resurrection, condemnation, and regeneration. We are mushrooms.
Back to the mushroom farm.
Nothing growing. Is happening. Is that white spot beginning to grow there?
Well, you know, fellas, mushrooms grow under the ground, so I think it's kind of fruitless to try, if I can use
or
a mixed metaphor, to try to see what's happening. But
is
this
Keith
man
mushroom?
Will try to anyway.
Yes?
I believe in mushrooms, and I believe mushrooms are good for you because if you eat them and buy them, then I get rich. And
sir, are you a mushroom?
Right now. I am a mushroom. I look like a mushroom. My ears are fungi, and actually I'm growing mushrooms on my head. I have mushrooms in my mouth. Sometimes when they get really big, I sound like this. Because I believe.
Oh, my God.
Look what happened to him.
Look, see what happened?
Boy, he changed.
Skin color changes.
Just like that.
Become a mesomorph.
This is the new multicultural millennium we're looking at now.
Diverse.
A man can just change color instantly.
The new world order. Diverse. Special. And now...
Now, do you believe in mushrooms?
No, he's not.
I mean, really.
He's
you look like a mushroom.
He has actually bifurcated. He has cloned himself.
I'll just keep talking until you open
your
mouth.
Bearded, taller version of himself.
Oh, no.
I enjoy Pokemon. I love Pokemon.
Yes.
I particularly like that little yellow guy. And also the one that looks kind of like a cabbage.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy Pokemon very much. If I had a hat, I'd mm-hmm. be wearing it backwards. Mm-hmm. And I would be involved in a kind of cult in which we traded mushrooms with each
You're
other.
You're an absolute idiot, because that's not the question I asked you at all. I wish you could answer my questions, but I guess not.
I'm going to nod at
you. I don't know.
Here.
Yeah, I know. I guess you're not going to be
lift your hand
straight
up.
With me. And.
Well, when my lips move, they generally are saying something to the effect of this. I enjoy mushrooms, but I like a badger even more. And if the Cardinals try to get the badgers, then I think...
Mushrooms and badgers. Now, there's something that we can all agree on. A delicious dish.
Overall, I loved the ingenuity of these pinchos. Reminded me of my last trip to Spain in 2002, where I had a great variety of wonderful tapas and pinchos everywhere in Spain. Bergara gave me a real appreciation of puff pastry.
This is Radio Free Oz. And now, we return you to Act 3 of the exciting conclusion of this week's mystery, The Poison Puff, with our guest super sleuth, Charlie Chance.
As it was my first bar in Donostia, I assumed all the rest of them would be of this quality. I was wrong. Over two nights, I had chalupa, mushroom, king prawns, cream and cava over puff pastry with cheese au gratin, itacho, monkfish and prawns with cream of leeks, shekely wine, au gratin, ratatouille with garlic mousseline sauce and Iberian cured ham shavings, udaberry, cream courgettes with crayfish and ham over a puff pastry basket, all of which I enjoyed. Inspired a desire to use puff pastry to create things when I returned to Vancouver. I took no delight in the duck delights, crystallized duck, apple, Calvados liqueur, onion, and pine nuts with puff pastry, the one bad pincho I had with apple. Also on the minus side, scallop and prawns and a light bechamel sauce cooked au gratin. Later, hung out at the highly recommended Bar DC, drinking sangria with a British banker and his wife, a native of Donostia. They had both traveled extensively, including to Vancouver and Japan. I asked her about the lack of homeless people in Spain, such a contrast to Vancouver and American cities, even Tokyo. "We take care of each other," she told me. My wife suggested I just didn't go to the areas of the cities that were full of homeless, but au contraire. Taxis and subways took me all over the cities I stayed in without ever seeing anyone sleeping on the street. Considering how helpful people were to me throughout the trip, I can feel what the Donostia native told me was true. The next day, I had a reservation at Lab E, the city's center of what used to be called molecular gastronomy, now called modernist cuisine. I've had a lot of it over the years. Generally pretty good stuff. Their website says lamb meatballs with lemon cauliflower. Lemon cauliflower! I love both lemon and cauliflower. I exchange lengthy email with Lab E about modernist cuisine, which although invented in France, has spread throughout the world thanks to the ever-genial Spanish chef José Andrés, maybe the world's foremost humanitarian of our era, though I'm no fan of his food, and others. Okay, Labby, show me what you got. There appears a blue door on which is written in English, Lab E, Digital Gastronomy Lab. Okay, hit me with your molecules. They bragged about their cocktails on their website, but when I asked for one, very much in the realm of molecular gastronomy, they told me only in the summer. Bummer. But Spanish white wine is always fine. There was a steep descent from the miraculous asparagus I had at Bar Sepa the previous day. Sauce is good, but so what? This isn't France. The lamb meatballs were tasty, and I've only had one other lamb dish I liked. Son-in-law's lamb popsicles, a toned-down recipe from Fish's cookbook. The popsicles at his restaurant are far too spicy for my delicate palate. So good on you, Labby. But the cream cauliflower was utterly devoid of lemon. It did not live in the same universe as lemon. Like the immense absence of lime and the scallops with lime spheres at La Ola in Bilbao and the unoranged tapa at El Minibar, Does the presence of citrus in a dish send Spanish chefs into a Trump-like flurry of untruth?
Hi, this is another edition of Trump Social Audio, and I'm your favorite ex-president. At least I hope I am. Otherwise, there's some problem with the equipment. So this week, against my better judgment, which is my only judgment, I went and spoke to a bunch of black journalists. At least they called themselves black journalists. Who would want to do that? But the fake media came after me when I pointed out the obvious truth that Kamala Harris, I call her that out of respect, that at some point at a recent point, she became black, and the lazy media dogs all parroted the same line, that that comment somehow meant that I was somehow anti-black. It's so stupid and evil that I shouldn't even have to defend myself, and I'm not. But long before I got involved in pro wrestling, which everyone knows is a mainly white sport, and a tremendous one, I was attending boxing matches, which is a mainly black sport, with my friend, the great boxing promoter Don King, who, if you look it up, is blacker than Carolina Piccaninny. But that's not the only black celebrity I allowed to get close to me. I was a huge fan of Diana Ross, even though I never had the luck to go to one of her concerts, given the nature of the venues I assumed she played in. I always hired the best help at Mar-a-Lago and all my golf courses and hotels, and they almost never stole the silverware. And there was even some hate sent my way by some gymnast. But she and you should know that when I referred to black jobs being taken by immigrants, I was in no way casting aspersions against those immigrants wherever they come from. As I said before, I don't want to spend these moments with you defending myself. But who exactly should I defend? Talk to you before Kamala Mala's fake convention. Until then, have a MAGA week.
Scary. There was a park next to Lab E I decided to explore. It was also next to a taxi stand with a taxi driver asleep at the wheel parked there. This is good. I planned to go to Donostia's famous aquarium that afternoon, and a cab would be appreciated. I sauntered into the park. It was quite pretty. The visual beauty as I walked into the park was far more delightful than the culinary attempts at delight the previous meal. One of the first things I noticed was a black and white cat. The park was right up against people's houses. I'm sure my sibling came from one of them, as he or she did not appear to be wild and actually came up close to me. Seeing the cat really made my day. Spain is full of pet dogs, but on my seventh day in Spain, I finally saw my first cat. Alas, the taxi is gone and no other appears. It's a long walk to the aquarium. I mean, it's a pretty city, but this is ridiculous. And you can't hail a cab like you can in Madrid. You have to go to a designated taxi stand, and they are few and feebly staffed out here in the suburbs. It was a long walk. It rained, then pummeled heat and sunshine, then more liquid annoyance. I was getting hungry. A restaurant near the aquarium advertised grouper on its posted menu. I'd had grouper only once before, in the Dallas airport, at a restaurant in a lower floor, with a wonderful lime sauce. Fond memory. Will Donostia's grouper live up to that expectation?
I have their grouper with vegetables. The sauce is very good. The grouper, well, at least it doesn't taste fishy. Increasingly, I'm getting the sense that my vaunted aspirations for the city have been misplaced. I wander over to the aquarium. Not really a good idea to look at swimming fish after you've just eaten fish. Still, I found it quite moving. there's a room where you can contemplate the inrushing sea, baskness itself.
The San Telmo Convent, turned into the Museum of Basque Society, had a vast mural of Basque land that seemed to involve whaling, but it was the only reference I saw throughout the museum. The aquarium is much more upfront about it. Harpoons glisten deathfully down the centuries. The skeleton of a once wonderfully living whale now hangs in the air to delight small children. Other artifacts of slaughter linger. I hurry past them in search of life, and there they are. Wonderful living fish. I hadn't eaten them all. Watching the fish swimming merrily about was joyous. Also, some vertical animals. Eels? I didn't know animals could swim vertically, meaning as vertical beings. It is as if mathematics is suddenly altered. One lives for such revelations. There is not a lot open the afternoon. Finally found an open bar, Antonio's, which brags about having the best tortilla in the city. Awaiting that, I endure some sad tuna tomato salad. How could a whole culinary culture fail to delight me with its cavalier treatment of both? When the famous tortilla makes its appearance, it is a celebration. Free tortilla for everybody! Hungry people throughout the world, come here and eat, even if it's not very good. I'm kind of depressed by the plummeting enjoyment I'm getting from the food, which is why I'm here to begin with. I cross the very pretty bridge. It is a city of visual delights, even if its culinary treasures are hidden, mixing new and old. I drop by a futuristic bar called Baga Baga Factoria to sip a glass of wine and look out at the pretty city. I notice a beautiful woman sitting some distance from me on the bar, chatting with a couple of guys. I think beauty is always a surprise. My last day in Donostia. I have a lunch reservation at a serious restaurant, Astelina. Finally, I'll get the good stuff this city has been dangling before me, but not serving me in the quantity and quality that brought me in search of this Basque land, or will I? The amuse-bouches in the restaurants I visit in Spain tend toward the soup. I'm a big fan of soup. And then a dish of asparagus. This is a failure, as much as in Lab E and restaurants to come. The chef came out and asked if I liked his invention, the mushroom mayonnaise. Well, yes. But I do not choose to fill up on filling things before getting into the serious protein, the upcoming langoustines and hake. I tell him his pricey asparagus isn't nearly as good as the simple asparagus at La Cepa and Bar Ejia, which is more like dive bars than what a Stelina aspires to be. He tells me it's because we only use the good stuff, organic asparagus, while they use inferior vegetables. Yeah, I answer, but theirs taste better. The langoustine with red fruit, whatever they are, was miraculous. I think the best meal I had in Spain. Little things like pinchos, but actual meal. Although the tuna one I had in Bilbao was excellent, but this is actually better. This is langoustines, and langoustines are one of my favorite things, which we cannot get in Vancouver. Alas, and used to get them in Vegas, but now I guess they're too priced out of the Vegas market. Anyway, this is just an exquisite dish, and I have to tell the chef how much I enjoyed it. The chef asked how I liked the hake. I'd wanted to try this fish, new to me, but ubiquitous in menus here. I told him the sauce was great, the clams helped too, as did the wine. Without them, my tongue would be insulted by a fishy fish. I think he understood, but all palates are different, eh? I came to Donostia for these kinds of conversations and culinary elevations, which are proving fewer than expected. I will leave Donostia for Logroño tomorrow morning. Will the food be better there? Later, I had a spectacularly mediocre tomato salad at Muxu Martin. There was a tour there. I shudder to think this is the summit of Basque cuisine these curious tourists would encounter. I've eaten better food in Vancouver, and that's hard to do. Raining Logroño when I got there, as usual. Had to ask a guy where the place was, but upon finding it, it's delightful. Every place I've stayed has been getting better and better, and this is the best yet. Apartment Suite Parados. You could not find a better place to stay in Logroño. Walking around downtown, I feast on the crab gratin at Pere Portales. I have a reservation for a minor league bar which serves, accordingly, minor league asparagus. Do you notice a theme here? And equally low-division calamari. Then next door to a Michelin-starred Pinchot's place, where I have a superb apple foie Pinchot. At last, good food. The next day, I have a lunch reservation at a serious restaurant. They have sea bass, my usual fish in Vegas. However, their tomato salad is frighteningly bad. Do you notice a theme here? Great food and then horrendous food in the same meal. Not what I was expecting in Spain.
It's 5,000 feet to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Yet now, as inevitable as dawn, the sun, arcing on its axis, rises to meet the east. Chariot racing across the high noon desert sky, only to plummet like bald Icarus into the sensual, fermenting seas of the South Pacific.
That's pretty.
And even now, yet, as scary night descends upon us, we could appreciate the wonders of nature as stimulating as man's own triumphs.
In the afternoon, I go over to Logroño's most iconic Pinchos bar, Soriana. They only serve one dish, champis, mushrooms on a stick. It's not bad, but hardly deserving icon status. A sign at Bar Soriano reads, "In Paris, the Eiffel Tower. In Rome, the Vatican. And in Logroño, Los Champis del Soriana." Soriano, is that an O or an A? Anyway, they aren't that good. I mean, they're okay, but as I said, the only really memorable mushroom dish I had in all of Spain was Bolita's spoon in Donostia. This one dripped grease, so I decided to cut it with a small glass of beer. It wasn't quite small enough, but it did cut through the grease, and it made the champis, as mushrooms are called, edible. That's a problem with the whole trip. I'm having far too much edible, sort of okay food, and very little spectacular food, and I came here expecting spectacles. I go back to where I had the great foie apple Pinchot the other day, and now it's off the menu, but their albondicas and pulled pork mini sandwiches are delicious. I have a Tinto with that, and it goes wonderfully. First of all, the previous day I had asked the guy if he could make me a sangria, and he said, nah. And this time I kind of mentioned sangria. He says, well, I said, you know, I've been turned on to this Tinto drink. Why don't I have one of those? It's like a simple sangria, sangria without brandy. So he gives me one of those. It's delicious. Later he comes by and says, I got free time. I can make you a sangria now. It's much more work. I said, no, this is fantastic. I ended up having two of them, which went really well with two very meaty dishes. The albondigas, which was one of the first things I had in Spain when Fumio and I were here in 02, which are delicious. Pork, beef, meatballs, and this kind of sauce. And pulled pork sandwiches, decent bread. Splendid final meal. And a Michelin restaurant, well-deserved. From there, and it's raining heavily, I walk over to another bar that just serves cheese, so I can take cheese back with me to my hotel and make ham and cheese croissants for tomorrow's travel breakfast. A painful bus ride to Zaragoza, some minor league food there, and then How wonderful! A train to Madrid. My back celebrates its freedom from pain. A cab to La Reina Sofia for its cascade of beauty, plus a wonderful garden bar. Have a good tuna tataki and a flavorless chicken mustard attempt at food at Healthy Greens next to my hotel. Also, a decent gin tonic at a nearby bar. I'd heard this was now the national drink of Spain, but I've yet to see it advertised as such. Don't know if it was a local gin, but it was surprisingly good. My last day in Spain begins with a metro ride to the Prado. Much beauty is absorbed, particularly the Bruegel. Although I took lots of pictures and was sending them back to Fumio, a guard comes up to me and says, "No, no pictures allowed." That's odd. Okay, as if you can tell people what to do with their phones. Yeah, good luck with that. And once again, I saw my second favorite painting, Las Meninas, which is as fantastic as when I first saw it 22 years ago. My brain was very happy on both occasions, particularly having delved into it at a techno level and the Velázquez Tech Museum when I was in Madrid earlier this trip. I had intended to take a metro back to my hotel to lunch on soup at a place near my hotel, but found another place closer to my metro station offering tomato soup. Tabla Fina. It wasn't bad. Actually, it was too much. It was probably the best tomato dish I had in Spain. That's like saying you're the tallest midget. I also had 8 mini croquettes, the only time I had croquettes in Spain. Bechamel sauce is not really what I consider a decent stuffing for croquettes compared to what I'm used to in Japan, which is mashed potatoes. Also some excellent wine. I paid with my credit card, then got a train for the Plaza de España to see its Egyptian temple. There was also a big statue of Don Quixote, which I had planned to see as I'm rereading Don Quixote now. But alas, it began to rain before I actually got in line to the Egyptian temple. I'm far away from my metro, so I grab a cab. When the cab delivers me back to my hotel, I discover my wallet is gone. Thankfully, the cabbie sticks around. I go up to my room and get some money to pay him, but I'm fearful of the loss. Did the wallet fall out of my bag at the restaurant? I return there, and it did not. I go to the police station and report the loss when they find someone who speaks English. And of course, they tell me immediately to call the credit card companies. But of course, there's no possibility of it ever being found again. Still rattled, I go back to Inclán to see if their artichoke dish is still as good. It is not. A steeper descent in taste has never been encountered. The burrata is good, though, and the cocktails, although not memorable, hover in the vicinity of drinkability. During my short sleep, I dream I have 2 cats, one big and white and old, the other a younger ginger tabby. The tabby had caught a small mouse. The old white cat wasn't into hunting anymore. So Tabby asked the mouse, "Are you food?" "No, I'm not food," says the mouse. So the tabby lets him go, and he scampers off. I run to the door to make sure it's open. A good dream. I have a 5 a.m.-ish flight to Frankfurt, so I had to get a cab to the airport at 3. It's odd to be moving around a tarmac on a bus to one's flight in darkness. After the usual German interlude, I board the flight home. Next to me is a man with a cat at a small cage which fits under the seat. I dream of cats, and now there is a cat sitting next to my feet. Odd. The German man tells me they fly back and forth from Vancouver to Frankfurt often, and always with the cat. I'm amazed. No cat I've known would put up with lengthy confinement like that.
Mama? Mama, I'll be good. Mama, I will. Mama, I'll be good. Mama, I just want to get out of here.
I woke up every day in Spain knowing that good things would happen that day. I would see something, or eat something, or experience something wonderful. That's kind of what a vacation or travel in general seeks to be. I had so long plotted a return to Spain, and here I was, back in Spain, healthy enough for lots of walking and eating and moving from city to city in various ways. I returned from Spain intent on exploring the combinations of tuna, coconut, almonds, and watermelon. The search for the apple, tomato, cheese pincho continues as I addition various bready things. I'm still thinking about the broigles and dreams. My search for the world's best food was like Don Quixote's windmills, illusions. One travels in order to benefit from one's journey. Though 3 months have passed since I was in Spain, its imagery keeps replying. The beauty of Donostia imposed on the hedge outside my window. Beauty is everywhere to be encountered. Welcome it.